Pleasant good morning. Always a pleasure to be with the saints. If you're visiting with us, we're glad that you're here this morning and hope you'll open your Bibles with us. If you are a parent, I suspect that you will completely relate to this memory of mine. My son, at age 2 or 3, was curious, and he could ask the question, why, 35 times in 1 minute. A child's thirst to know and understand is a drive that pushes them to question, to experiment, to try for themselves, and learn. And most children love to learn. For most of us, at some point, we lose that drive and desire to learn. And for many, it happens overnight when you turn 13. For others, it's after they get a degree or they get established in a job and they don't feel like they need to learn anymore. I know enough. Many adults do not see a need to learn about anything. And they certainly feel no drive to learn about God or His Word. I'm going to offer 2 quotes from mankind that I think are helpful at the beginning of this lesson. Here's the first one. Tell me and I forget. Teach me and I remember. Involve me and I learn. Benjamin Franklin. And the second quote. The more that you read, the more things you will know. The more that you learn, the more places you'll go. Dr. Seuss. Both are correct. My lesson today is about the need to learn. We're going to touch on some concepts such as the importance of learning, the necessary attitudes about learning, and applying knowledge in our own life. And I want us to start by looking at what God has said about learning. First of all, God wanted the Israelites to learn. And He gave them a written law. Look with me and let's read in Deuteronomy chapter 4, beginning in verse 11. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 11. Scripture says, "You came near and stood at the foot of the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire to the very heart of the heavens, darkness, cloud, and thick gloom. Then the Lord spoke to you from the midst of the fire. You heard the sounds of words, but you saw no form, only a voice. So He declared to you His covenant, which He commanded you to perform, that is, the Ten Commandments, and He wrote them on 2 tablets of stone. The Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that you might perform them in the land where you were going over to possess it." So the commands of God were to be performed. It's never enough to just know and not do what God says. Knowledge is intended to lead us to application in our life. That's why God wrote down the law. Now, if you turn a few pages over to Deuteronomy chapter 31, read with me beginning in verse 10, Deuteronomy 31, and in verse 10. It says, "At the end of every 7 years, at the time of the year of remission of debts, at the Feast of Booths, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God at the place which He will choose, you shall read this law in front of all Israel in their hearing. Assemble the people, the men and the women and the children, and the alien who is in your town, so that they may hear and learn and fear the Lord your God, and be careful to observe all the words of this law. Their children who have not known will hear and learn to fear the Lord your God, as long as you live in the land which you are about to cross the Jordan to possess." God wanted even the aliens, the non-Israelites who were living in their midst in the town, He wanted them to hear the law as well. Even the children who were new and hadn't learned the law yet, hadn't heard it before. Again, though, in verse 12, it was to cause the people to be careful to observe the law, to live in obedience. In the book of Joshua, chapter 8, it records the nation of Israel obeying God and gathering at Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. And a copy of the law had been written on the stones of the altar. And in Joshua 8 and verse 34, it says, "Then afterward he read all the words of the law, the blessing and the curse, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses had commanded, which Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers who were living among them." Here we see it being accomplished, this reading of the law in front of everybody. We can see a reading like this again in 2 Kings chapter 23. And these are by no means all of them, but I'm pointing to a few of them. In 2 Kings chapter 23 and in verse 2, it says that King Josiah went up to the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. The king stood by the pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all of his heart and all his soul, to carry out the words of the covenant that were written in this book. And all the people entered into the covenant. One more that I would like to read in this regard is much later in the history of Israel, in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8, and in verse 2, it says, "Then Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men, women, and all who could listen with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. He read from it before the square, which was in front of the water gate, from early morning until midday, in the presence of men and women, those who could understand, and all the people were attentive to the book of the law." God wanted his people to know the law. That's why he wrote it down, so they could refer to it, and that they could learn it. God, though, even gave more specific instructions to the leaders. When Joshua became the leader of the nation after Moses, in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, God told Joshua, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success." Joshua, we think of as a great leader of Israel, but he's instructed here, don't worry about the leadership, you need to meditate on the law. You need to know what God has said. And later in their history, when they had kings, God gave instructions to the kings in the giving of the law before they had kings. It's found in Deuteronomy chapter 17 and in verse 18, where he says, "It shall come about when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, he shall write himself a copy of this law on a scroll in the presence of the Levitical priests. It shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God by carefully observing all the words of this law and these statutes." God wanted the leaders of Israel to even be more familiar with the law, with his word. So he had the kings write their own copy of it. Don't you remember more when you write something down? I do. And they refer to it over and over again. God even gave special responsibilities to fathers in Deuteronomy chapter 6 And then verse 7, regarding his law, he said, "You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk to them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up." And then in verse 20, he said, "When your sons ask you in the times to come, saying, 'What do the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments mean which the Lord our God commanded you?' Then you shall say to your son, 'We were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us up from Egypt with a mighty hand.'" Over and over in Scripture, we've only scratched the surface here, God's attitude and requirement for all of Israel was not hard to understand. Everyone was to know and learn his law. It is through the law that they would learn to fear God by carefully observing what he has said. Now, we do not live under the covenant of the law of Moses. We do not abide by the law of Moses. We abide by the new covenant in Christ Jesus. But God's attitude toward his law, his written word, has not changed. He wants us to grow in our knowledge. In Ephesians chapter 5, look with me beginning in verse 8. Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 8. It says, "You were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord." You like to underline in your Bible? Are you trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord? Oh, I've been a Christian for many, many years. I'll tell you something, we're still law learners all of our life. You see things you hadn't seen before. You understand something you had wrong. Are we trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord? In verse 17 of this same chapter, it says, "So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." How can we ever hope to please God if we don't understand what pleases Him? God tells us in verse 17, it's foolish for us to not learn and understand. Look at this principle again in 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. And in verse 14. He says, "Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless, and regard the patience of the Lord as salvation. Just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, wrote to you, as also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, and which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures, to their own destruction. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard, so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity." Brethren, growing in knowledge is not just a good idea. It is the expectation and the requirement of God. Most of us, I would say, are familiar with these verses and the concepts of growth. But an examination of the surrounding context helps us see some of the why it is needed. Still in 2 Peter 3 and verse 16, the untaught and the unlearned. In the Greek, this is literally the word ignorant. Unstable is a good translation of the Greek in this text, meaning unfixed, that is, they are vacillating. Those who are ignorant and vacillating, believers, are distorting the Word of God. The King James here uses the word rest, W-R-E-S-T, meaning originally to twist or turn awry. And it was used of torture on a rack where they would twist the body and bend the body in sorts of horrible ways. This is used metaphorically of somebody who rests or perverts, tortures language in a false sense. Their portrayal of the meaning of a passage is wrong, or is perhaps very wrong. We might say they have mangled the passage, or they are distorting the Word of God. That's the concepts. And the result of this distorting of the truth, verse 16 says, leads to their own destruction. None of us want to be destroyed by God's judgment. We have to know the will of God so that we do not distort what He has said. We cannot be those who are ignorant and unlearned. There's a need to know the will of God. A very strong need. Now again in verse 17 it says, be on your guard so that you're not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness. So not only knowing God's will for my sake, but also for being able to recognize the truth of God and what others are teaching. The unprincipled men literally means lawless men. What they are teaching is without the law. Their error is lawlessness, which if we are ignorant, can be carried away with. Well, we're going to believe the lie. The way we guard ourselves from such things is to know the will of God for myself. If you know truth, it's easy to recognize error. Turn with me now to the book of Matthew, chapter 9, and see this principle a little more in some of the teaching of Jesus. Matthew chapter 9, and in verse 10, it says, then it happened that as Jesus was reclining at the table in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were dining with Jesus and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, why is your teacher eating with the tax collectors and sinners? But when Jesus heard this, he said, it is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. In verse 13, Jesus quotes from Hosea chapter 6 and verse 6. His words are intended to point out the need for learning in the Pharisees. They thought themselves to be righteous in their many religious traditions. But listen to the entire verse in Hosea 6 and verse 6. It says, I delight in loyalty rather than sacrifice, and in the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. By their actions and by their words, the Pharisees had not yet learned the truth of that scripture. But they had a twisted, perverted idea about eating with tax collectors and sinners that was wrong. In Psalm 119 and verse 130, it says, the unfolding of your words gives light, it gives understanding to the simple. Well, the simple could be children, or it could be those who are older and just don't have a lot of learning yet. We gain understanding and even wisdom through learning God's Word, but we have to see the importance of unfolding His Word to see all of what He has said deeply. In Matthew 11 and verse 29, Jesus has a statement that's famously remembered by most. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Jesus says we're supposed to learn from him. Look to his example, his attitudes, imitate him. His gentleness and humility are recorded throughout the Gospels and in the epistles. God has written that for us, that we might be able to learn from him. It's our responsibility to learn from Jesus and to learn of him. So how much about him do I need to know? Are we content with a limited understanding? Or are we so familiar that we could tell stories to our grandchildren because we know them so well? All about Jesus. Things he did, things he said, how people responded. But even more importantly, we have to make the applications of in our own life of doing what Jesus did and doing what Jesus says. The adoption of his character is why God wrote this down for us. Without the application, it's meaningless. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2 is probably where you thought I was going to start this point on. 1 Peter 2 and verse 2 says, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Our need to learn is to be so great we long for the word. King James there says to desire. The Greek literally means to intensely crave possession. Now let me put this in some context for us. It's written in the first century. They didn't have one of these in everybody's possession. They had to intensely crave the word, which often meant they had to go listen to somebody proclaiming it that they had confidence in because of inspiration. The things the Holy Spirit has revealed. To intensely crave it was going to require their time and effort to travel and go someplace where they could hear the word. We have this. We just have to open or even just pull it up on your phone. Do we intensely crave the word? Like the fussing infant wanting milk, we should want to hear God's word to know his will. Please understand, 1 Peter 2 and verse 2 is not a passage written to the babes in Christ. It is written to all Christians to be like a newborn babe physically, longing for milk. That's the desire we should have for God's word. It's not about how long I've been a Christian, but how fervent am I in trying to continue to learn what God has said. There are many references in Psalm 119 about the word of God. The entire psalm is 176 verses, all of which are worthy of study. I'm going to mention about four references from this. Psalm 119 and verse 20 says, my soul is crushed with longing after your ordinances at all times. Crushed with longing. Verse 27 says, make me understand the way of your precepts, so I will meditate on your wonders. My soul weeps because of grief. Strengthen me according to your word. Verse 47, I shall delight in your commandments, which I love. And verse 68 simply says, teach me your statutes. That's the heart of a learner. Teach me your statutes. Sadly, the reason many Christians do not give diligence to the knowledge of God's word is because of a poor attitude. Few possess the attitude of the psalmist. We don't see the need to learn. We think we know enough. So did the Pharisees when Jesus said they needed to go and learn the meaning in Hosea. Scripture plainly states we need to be growing in knowledge. Well, why do we need to be growing in knowledge? Well, because I can be destroyed by lack of knowledge. Pure and simple. Hosea 4 and verse 6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being my priest. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. Isaiah 5 and verse 13 has the same message. Therefore, my people go into exile for their lack of knowledge. That's talking about them going into the Babylonian exile. The destruction comes from God. He rejects them. How did they come to lack knowledge? Well, they rejected knowledge. Did you see that in the text? It was willful. They didn't want to learn. And the destruction comes from God. He rejects them. They forgot the law of God. What they did know, they forgot. Lack of use, I would say. As God says in Hosea 4 and verse 1, there's no knowledge of God in the land. This is the point that Peter was making in 2 Peter 3:17 about why we needed to be on guard so that we're not carried away by the error and fall from our own steadfastness. Without the knowledge of God's will, we're going to be destroyed. We make mistakes because we don't know Scripture. In Matthew chapter 22, we covered this in our Sunday morning class a few weeks ago. Matthew 22 and verse 28. It says, "In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife of the seven will she be? For they had all married her." But Jesus answered and said, "You are mistaken, not understanding the Scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. But regarding the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was spoken to you by God? I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living." Those asking this question of Jesus lacked knowledge in that they believed there is no resurrection. Matthew 22 and verse 23. He plainly speaks of this in verse 31. "Have you not read what was written? Have you not learned what God said?" And he quotes Exodus 3 and verse 6. That he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They are still living, though they are dead. They've lived after death. And their lack of knowledge led to their error. In Mark 12 and verse 24 is the parallel account. And there it ends that passage by saying, "You are very mistaken." There's other examples of this same truth. And I'd like to read a longer one with you. If you would turn back with me to 2 Kings chapter 22. We're going to read a passage. Some of us will be familiar with it. It may be new to you. 2 Kings chapter 22, and we're going to begin in verse 8. This is under the reign of King Josiah. In verse 8 it says, "Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the scribe, 'I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord.' And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, who read it. Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought back word to the king and said, 'Your servants have emptied out the money that was found in the house,'" meaning the temple, "'and have delivered it into the hand of the workmen who have the oversight of the house of the Lord.' Moreover, Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, 'Hilkiah the priest has given me a book.' And Shaphan read it in the presence of the king. When the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his clothes. Then the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam the son of Shaphan, Achbor the son of Micaiah, Shaphan the scribe, and Asahiah the king's servant, saying, 'Go inquire of the Lord for me and the people in all Judah concerning the words of this book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that burns against us, because our fathers have not listened to the words of this book to do according to all that is written concerning us.' So Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam, Achbor, Shaphan, and Asahiah went to Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikva, the son of Haras, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she lived in Jerusalem in the second quarter, and they spoke to her. She said to them, 'Thus says the Lord God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me, thus says the Lord, behold, I bring evil on this place and on its inhabitants, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah has read, because they have forsaken me and have burned incense to other gods that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore, my wrath burns against this place and it shall not be quenched. But to the king of Judah who sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say to him, Thus says the Lord God of Israel regarding the words which you have heard. Because your heart was tender, and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and you have torn your clothes and wept before me, I truly have heard you, declares the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will gather you to your fathers, and you will be gathered to your grave in peace, and your eyes will not see all the evil which I will bring to this place. So they brought the word back to the king. What's our attitude when we read in the law of God and it's something we're not familiar with? And it condemns us for something we've not been doing that God says I should be doing. God's going to destroy all of the Israelites. There's an exception for the king, though, because of his attitude when he read the law. It wasn't something he came to have. It happened when he heard it. What a great example. Until he had heard from the law, Josiah was lacking in knowledge. But now that he knew, he grieves publicly. He understood the wrath of God. He immediately sends to the prophetess to see if God had a message, because we haven't been doing what God said. He was concerned about the people. If we had time to keep reading all of 2 Kings chapter 23, we would see what kinds of things Josiah learned from the book. In verse 3, he initiates a covenant with God and the people to follow God's ways and obey the covenant. He then removed the idolatrous practices everywhere within his kingdom and some of even the surrounding regions. He killed the idolatrous priests. Very significantly, in chapter 23, verse 21, Josiah commanded all the people, "Celebrate the Passover to the Lord your God, as is written in the book of the covenant." The lack of knowledge that existed in the land that led to the error of not keeping the Passover, which was a major festival that God demanded of the Israelites. Verse 22 of chapter 23 says the Passover had not been celebrated like that since the days of the judges, not even during any of the time of the kings before Josiah, which would have included David. Josiah is greatly spoken of in chapter 23 and verse 25. Before him there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all of his heart, with all of his soul, and with all of his might, according to all of the law of Moses, nor did any like him arise after him. His heart, when he read or heard a reading of the law of God, is what pleased God so much. He had the heart to learn God's will. He was the king. But he was mistaken in his ignorance. Because of that attitude of ignorance that existed, God pronounced the destruction on the nation. Look at one other example of this with me. In Malachi chapter 2. That's the last book of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 2. And in verse 1, Scripture says, "And now this commandment is for you, O priests. If you do not listen, and if you do not take it to heart to give honor to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I will send the curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. And indeed, I have cursed them already, because you are not taking it to heart. Behold, I'm going to rebuke your offspring, and I will spread refuse on your faces, the refuse of your feasts, and you will be taken away with it. Then you will know that I have sent this commandment to you, that my covenant may continue with Levi, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant with him was one of life and peace, and I gave them to him as an object of reverence. So he revered me and stood in awe of my name. True instruction was in his mouth, and unrighteousness was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and he turned many back from iniquity. For the lips of a priest should preserve knowledge, and men should seek instruction from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But as for you, you have turned aside from the way. You have caused many to stumble by the instruction. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. So I also have made you despised and abased before all the people, just as you are not keeping my ways, but are showing partiality in the instruction. The lips of the priest should preserve knowledge, verse 7. That was the role of the priest, to faithfully recite God's word to the people. Many of the people couldn't read. Many of the people did not have a copy of Scripture anywhere that they could read, except what had been engraved on a stone somewhere. Copies would have been very expensive, difficult to make. But verse 8's the key. They turned aside. They were not preserving knowledge. They were instructing people, but not in the truth of God. They corrupted the covenant. They didn't revere God or stand in awe of His name. Where many listened to Levi speaking the truth, and many turned back from their iniquity, in verse 6, now the priest taught error and caused many to stumble. The people did not have knowledge. That was their problem. The priest cut them off from it. They were ignorant of God's will, so they stumbled. They were in sin, and they displeased God. Malachi 3 and verse 7 says, from the days of your fathers you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you. Another quicker example I want us to see is in Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6. And in verse 13, Jeremiah 6 in verse 13, Scripture says, for from the least of them even to the greatest, everyone is greedy for gain, and from the prophet even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. They have healed the brokenness of my people superficially, saying, peace, peace. There is no peace. Were they ashamed because of the abomination that they have done? They were not even ashamed at all. They did not even know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall. At the time that I punish them, they shall be cast down, says the Lord. They were being taught, the people were being taught, peace, everything's great with God. It wasn't great. They lied. They taught error. They told people what they wanted to hear. They were not instructing the people in the truth of God. They corrupted the covenant of God. Where many listened to Levi speaking truth, we see in this example, they couldn't listen to the priest and understand. Don't believe the truth because I preach it. Don't believe the truth because of what any man says. You have to know for yourself what God says. You've got to read it yourself. You've got to know it yourself. That's the way God has always been with man. That's what God has always told us. We can be destroyed without knowledge. The unlearned and unstable will pervert the truth, and we will not know it unless we know what God has said. We see the need then to learn the will of God. One more verse now in Jeremiah 6 and verse 16. It says, thus says the Lord, stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. 3 points here. Stand by the ways. I believe this text in Jeremiah is telling us to pause a while. Stand by the ways. Present yourself to see the Word of God. If we could get this across to those who are at a point of decision of whether to serve God or not, to simply pause and think of the consequences of the choice. To have folks look down the path and see where it leads before I travel down that road. And what we do while we stand is we investigate. Too often people get washed along with a tide of tradition or propelled by the winds of false doctrine. We seldom take the effort to investigate what we're involved in, but we must. We can't allow ourselves to be destroyed because we have ignorantly violated God's will. Oh, I didn't know. We don't have an excuse. He's given us the word. We're to be observant. Ask for the ancient path. Question others. Question God's word. Like that young child who's looking for the answer. You read in Scripture and you go, why? 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 And you keep studying until those questions are answered. The implied emphasis is that the new path is what men typically follow into error. These new ways are not better. Jeremiah 18 and verse 15 says, my people have forgotten me. They burn incense to worthless gods, and they have stumbled from their ways, from the ancient paths, to walk in byways and not highways. Bypaths is more literally a footpath in comparison to a road. They've chosen the worst course. Jeremiah 6 and verse 10, he says, to whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, the ears are closed and they cannot listen. Behold, the word of the Lord has become a reproach to them. They have no delight in it. We see the negative side of the same things we're taught positively in the New Testament. We're supposed to delight in the word of God, to long to study for it, to desire it. People in the past didn't have that. Look what's happened to them. They chose the worst course. The truth that we need to understand is that there are no new ways. God's way is the only way. And we're only going to get that from the Bible. Ask for the ancient path where the good way is. I would carefully say that some ancient paths are not good. We have read from several of those already where people are following a concept of not listening to God, not obeying what God has said. That's not the path we need to follow. From Jeremiah 6 and 16, we have to learn to walk in the ancient path of righteousness. David writes in the 23rd Psalm in verse 3 that he guides me in the path of righteousness. How did God do that? Through the written word? In Psalm 25 and verse 4, it says, Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. Is that my attitude? Is that your attitude? In verse 10 of that same psalm, all the paths of the Lord are loving kindness and truth to those who keep his covenants and his testimonies. Verse 8 says, instruct sinners in the way. And verse 9 says, he teaches the humble his way. And finally, in verse 12, who is the man who fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way he should choose. What we have to see is the need for me to choose to learn the will of God in my life. Learning without application serves no purpose. In Matthew 7 and 24, Jesus says, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them is compared to the wise man who built his house on the rock. We must see the need to learn God's will. All of us need to see that need. We're instructed to grow in knowledge. We are instructed and warned of a lack of knowledge that would lead to our destruction. So we must be those who are seeking the ancient paths where the good way is. If you're a Christian this morning, perhaps through this study, you see that your attitude toward learning God's will is perhaps not what it should be. Maybe you've been content in some degree of ignorance about God's will. Maybe you've been coasting in your Bible knowledge, which you already possess. If you've not been growing in your knowledge, I encourage you to repent and seek God's forgiveness and learn what He wants you to do. Change your attitude to one that desires to be taught by God, to willingly want to know so that you can walk in righteousness before Him. Maybe you're one who's not been on the ancient path of righteousness, but you've been led astray by some who are unlearned and unstable. I urge you to learn the will of God by looking to His holy word. Like Josiah, give attention to the book of the law. And if you've been learning, I hope you see the need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, to repent of your sin because you believe Jesus is the Son of God. You're ready to confess Him before men and to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sin. That's a need all of us need to learn from God's will. And if you see a need in your life today to obey God, don't delay. Come forward now. Let's stand and let's sing.